Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th, from 10 to 6 p.m. at the Oregon Convention Center in Portland. Portland Veg Fest, Oregon's largest vegan food and lifestyle event, offers resources, entertainment, and community building to celebrate sustainable, healthy, and compassionate food choices. Speakers this year include author Dr. Joel Furman, pastry chef Fran, and the author of the Paleo Vegan Cookbook, Ellen Jaffe Jones. Again, that's the Portland Veg Fest, Saturday, September 27th and Sunday, September 28th at the Oregon Convention Center, 777 Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More can be found at kvu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, September 17th, 2014, and you're listening to your community radio, KBOO Portland, at 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM on the web. This morning, we're going to be speaking again with Janet Fallon. She has another piece out on Israel and the U.S. and that complicated relationship, which is set to pretty much self-destruct and maybe take other nations along with it. Right now, Israel's control over the U.S. policy, politics, and social structures is extraordinary. With elections looming ahead, the leverage and influence is more evident than ever before, as if it weren't already pretty evident when we watch the results of Israeli IDF training as it is carried out in American streets, perpetrated against American citizens, using military ordnance, the likes of which have not been seen on U.S. streets in a long time, maybe all the way back to the infamous battle in Seattle. That is the only thing that comes to mind. And although a certain degree of chagrin was evident in the aftermath, once the dust settles, it is absolutely inevitable that the military-style assault on a civilian population here in the U.S. is likely to happen once again. Janet Fallon, my guest today, is living outside of the United States because living inside the United States would be hazardous to her health, to put it mildly. She'll be joining us just briefly. I just want to say, apropos of the announcement that we just heard, across the world, protests are gearing up. This Sunday, it's going to be enormous. Countless numbers of people, countless numbers of protests in cities all across the world on Sunday. People standing up, turning out in the streets to say climate change is the biggest threat that we face these days, and that it has the potential to destabilize not just economies, but a whole political structures in countries where those structures are relatively fragile. A very, very few headlines yesterday. Management fastened its seat belts and got ready for a little turbulence in steerage. Thousands of workers embraced a union future at American Airlines. The hardworking men and women at American Airlines and U.S. Airways voted for union representation and a legally binding contract. Their collective skills built successful airlines. They created the wealth. They created astounding, phenomenal wealth. And finally, at last, they do get a contract. They are organized. Does it mean that they're going to be living the high life? Probably not, but it's better than no life at all. Manmota Health is irritating physicians in Salem Health over contracts. This last there was an article in the Lund Report recently. Commend your attention to that if you want to see what's happening between Moda Health and doctors. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation, with major protests in the news again. The Electronic Frontier Foundation has updated its cell phone guide for protesters. This on the eve of the actions which will be taking place this Sunday. A lot has changed since the last time the EFF's report came out in 2011. On the one hand, we've learned more about the massive volume of law enforcement requests for cell phones, ranging from location information to actual content. Also, though, strong Supreme Court opinions have eliminated any ambiguity about the unconstitutionality of warrantless searches of phones incident to arrest. And a growing national consensus is that location data also is very much a matter of privacy. And as war escalates in the Middle East, the Obama administration's policies towards transparency and disclosure of key information are taking on height and importance. Such issues will come into sharp focus, as we are going to see on the weekend. Early returns show that voters in southern Oregon's Curry County once again rejected a measure to double their property tax rate to $1.6 million. A lot of these people, too, come in from California, where they decide to retire and pay absolutely nothing in the way of taxes for the needed infrastructure and social services that they depend on for their living their high life to the bitter end. And a Palestinian woman's husband was shot to death in 2012 by militants in the Gaza Strip, allegedly for spying for Israel. A mother of seven, she herself was jailed by Gaza's Hamas rulers for aiding and abetting a spy, her husband. That's the story that we all will save for the KBOO website, where there's a little bit of room to stretch out, because this is a story that needs legroom. Janet Fallon joins us. She is a journalist, investigative reporter, still working despite the efforts on a number of different countries, I believe, number of different agencies in the U.S. to silence her. Some of them well known, some of them not so well known, some of them not known at all. Nonetheless, murderous intent, unfortunately, something that journalists more and more face in these days. Good morning, Janet, and thanks so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris.
Well, we really appreciate you. Usually it's like, oh, thanks for taking the time. It's like, in your case, it's, oh, thanks for risking your life to do the show today. We do appreciate it. Just want you to know. And also to draw a line under the fact that your work is extraordinary, and yet the name Janet Fallon has yet to be heard on a number of well-known and much beloved independent, liberal, and progressive media outlets. It's a little hard to explain that when we have Edward Snowden, is of course the hero martyr of this age, and yet there are people questioning: is he in fact? Perhaps he is. There's more to we'd like to know about Edward Snowden. That would be nice if somebody would go ahead and spill those beans. Janet, your piece on Israel and the U.S. Can you get us up to speed on that before I start pelting you with questions? The piece is United States and Israel: A Dance of Deception. The recently published reports of the failure of Israel's much-touted Iron Dome missile defense system highlight the peculiarly self-destructive relationship between Israel and the United States. So what is it about Iron Dome that has served to highlight the relationship between the U.S. and Israel and this Iron Dome fiasco?
Well, it's very interesting because recent reports have come out from MIT and other organizations that are declaring that the Iron Dome, far from having a 90% success rate in hitting the incoming missiles coming into Israel, the short-range missiles, that actually the success rate is almost nil. Ted Postol of MIT is suggesting that it could be as low as 5 percent success rate. Now, why is this important? What does this mean? The Iron Dome was developed by an Israeli defense firm, Rafael Defense Systems. The funding has subsequently been taken over by the United States. And the question is, why would Israel be eagerly promoting a useless piece of junk that does not protect its citizens? And why would the U.S. take over the funding? And I think that this particular situation, these particular circumstances, highlight a relationship that has been fraught with the most peculiarly self-destructive and repeated sabotage by the United States against Israel. These are not new allegations. John Loftus, who was a former prosecutor, I believe he was with the Department of Justice, and he wrote a series of books in which he was exploring the United States' sabotage of Israel from actually before even the state was created and ongoing. Now, this sabotage is actually taking place, as we can see in the Iron Dome situation, taking place with the full complicity of the leadership of the state of Israel. And what does this mean? What does this mean that the state of Israel is proclaiming that they have a missile defense system to protect their citizens, which doesn't work at all?
Well, it seems, too, that possibly Iron Dome was developed to ward off for protection against high-tech types of surface-to-surface missile, whereas the only thing that the Palestinian people have, because, of course, Palestinians don't have a state-of-the-art military, they don't have any capacity for manufacturing these things, and certainly no countries in the world is supplying them with high-tech armaments. So what they have is basically sort of bottle rockets lobbed in the vaguely in the direction of Israeli settlements, which possibly evade Iron Dome simply by not being expensive enough. It seems a ridiculous hypothesis, but one that a number of people I've spoken with have considered.
That's an interesting hypothesis. The Iron Dome was specifically developed as a short-range defense system, specifically to protect against what was coming in, you know, from Gaza and other, you know, short range. What basically the Israel-Palestine issue has been basically expressed in there are basically two camps that exist. And what I'm trying to propose and explore in this article, United States and Israel, A Dance of Deception, which does appear at New Eastern Outlook, what I'm attempting to explore is possibly a third way of looking at the situation. As it stands, the two camps could be summarized as Israel's actions in terms of the Palestinians are heinous and need to be addressed, number one. Number two, the second camp is Israel needs to be protected. So in a sense, these two camps have become almost adversarial and facing off each other. And the fact is, I believe that there is a meta viewpoint that can incorporate both of these perspectives. And in order to get real about what's happening in Israel, we have to look at the history between the Jewish leadership and the state of the United States in terms of the repeated collaboration and sabotage that has been accommodated and perpetuated by both parties.
Before we let you go, we've got just a very few seconds, literally seconds left. Do you want to give listeners where they can find this? Where you're published now, New Eastern Outlook is a really interesting publication, and that is where this article appears. Any suggestions of that and other sources for listeners?
New Eastern Outlook is published out of Moscow. It's a Russian-based publication. I'm also exploring this theme in my recently published book, Exile, which is, of course, available on thebookpatch.com.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate you joining us today. We hope that you remain safe and continue to do this, the work that you do. New Eastern Outlook is a very interesting publication, not affiliated in any way, of course, with the Russian government. So again, it's a bit of risky business to simply publish through New Eastern Outlook, but it is indeed a way to get published if one has no other recourse in this country. This has been a Cascadia for Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Tammy Dean engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Tammy. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Cassandra. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Robin J.